Pittsburgh wasn't a major center for car manufacturing, but the region's thinkers and tinkerers got America motoring, and continue to do so in the 21st century. On a side street in Bloomfield, not far from Pittsburgh's Automobile Row on Baum Boulevard, Tom Lynn points out the cars he's restoring in his business, Flop Custom.
Everything up here is original Ford. I mean, there's a 30 Ford that I chopped, another 30 Ford, a 31 Roadster, a 32 truck, that's a 28 Ford, and that's a 32 Ford three-window. This stuff needs a lot of work to get right. Ford made 4 million Model A's between 28 and 31. It came off the assembly line, I think one every 20 minutes, and it takes me months to do one car.
At the turn of the 20th century, Pittsburgh workshops played a role in creating the automobile, but assigning sole credit for its development is pretty tricky. Leonardo da Vinci designed a car that ran on clockwork in 1478. A French engineer created a three-wheeled tractor in 1769 to haul artillery. Until gasoline-powered vehicles dominated the market, electric and steam-powered engines jockeyed for consumer affection.
Most manufacturing cities had sort of fledgling automakers. So I don't know that Pittsburgh was more unusual than, say, Cleveland or Buffalo or Auburn, Indiana.
Sarah Hall is director of curatorial affairs at the Frick Art and Historical Center, home to the Car and Carriage Museum. She says the early days of the car were an innovation race.
Between, say, 1890 and 1910, there were a lot of startup sort of tinkerers and investors trying to create cars here in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh capitalized on existing industries, including steel and glass, and produced the steam-powered Artsberger, a model capable of tackling the city's hills, but auto production centralized in Detroit. So, Pittsburgh contributed something else. Infrastructure.
Pittsburgh-based Gulf Oil opened the first drive-in gas station in 1913.
The station was staffed 24 hours a day. It provided free water and air and produced the very first road map. Hall says the car transformed everyday life.
It opened up the world. People could go farther. They could see more. They could choose where they wanted to go and when.
But there were drawbacks to that newfound independence and possibility.
Life sort of decentralized because of the car. And, you know, walkability in neighborhoods was less valued.
Or simply became more dangerous. City streets ceased to be public spaces and instead became places for cars. Hall says it took a while to figure out coexistence and regulation.
I'm Costas Samaras. I'm an assistant professor of civil and environmental engineering at Carnegie Mellon University.
30 years ago, CMU invented the autonomous car, and two groups work on self-driving vehicles today. Samaras doesn't make the cars. He researches their implications for society.
This could be as game-changing as the car. With self-driving cars, people can schedule where they want to be, how they want to get there, in a whole new way. Society has a lot of choices ahead of it as we enter this age of automation to maximize the benefits and minimize the downsides.
This isn't a time of incremental change, says Samaras. Most cars sit idle 95% of the time. A shared, schedulable, self-driving fleet will revolutionize transit and daily life, affecting how people decide where to live and work and how cities are structured.
What's exciting about engineering in general is that you're building the world anew every time.
But the new world of self-driving cars is bringing back old questions about safety, energy, and the environment. The difference, says Samaras, is the benefit of knowing how cars have affected society over the past 100 years. For 90.5, WESA celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh. I'm Margaret J. Krause.
UPMC is proud to support 90.5 WESA celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh. UPMC, life-changing medicine.